Welcome to the Seven Figure Leaders podcast. This podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners, and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. And there you'll find the link to apply. Welcome. And today we've got Reese Taylor Remblance, from RTR Group. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure to have you on as a guest. So you run RTR Group, which is a nationwide repair and maintenance contracting group. Perhaps,
yeah.
Give us a bit of an overview. How did you get into running this business, and when did you start it?
So I started as an electrician myself in, I think it was about 2007, 2008, around that time, focusing mostly on domestic properties, etc. Sort of grew the business to about 2015, and we had about 8 employees at that time. I decided I'd go into a partnership with somebody else. Went in partnership for 2 years. Didn't quite work out the way I'd anticipated it working. So in 2017, came back as a group. Came back to working for myself. I think I pulled half of the guys from that partnership, and he kept half of them. And then we sort of focused a little bit more on commercial installs, hotels, shops, shop fit outs, etc. It just kind of went from there. Lockdown changed our business model slightly because we were a lot more involved in the shop fit outs, big commercial projects, and obviously during lockdown the bigger contractors just went under, and we got stung for quite a bit of money during lockdown. But there was obviously a silver lining to every cloud, what have you. We got in with maintenance, and we're doing a very good job at compliance. We had the team and processes and bits and pieces around us. So we've just scaled from there, really.
Okay, great. And so you essentially started from zero in 2017. Is that right?
I started from zero in 2007, 2008. Yeah. And obviously worked up and built my customer base up to 2015 when I went into partnership. Again, I wasn't doing a whole lot of revenue in 2015. I was probably doing about 250 grand a year, something like that, 300 grand a year, something like that. Obviously went into partnership, and it was to be honest, was sold the dream of, oh, come with me, it'll be good. We'll get you these customers, do this, do that. And it didn't quite work out the way I'd hoped it was. Obviously, being in a partnership, you answer to someone, it's a bit harder. Yeah. So it was just something that I didn't personally enjoy. I didn't want to do it. So 2017, we had some of the existing customers. So we kind of, me and the partner split up quite amicably. So I took my customers that were there from before, and he took his customers that were there from before. So although I went back to zero and started a fresh company in 2017, I already had systems, people, processes, etc. in place. So it wasn't a standing start from zero, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And so what's your kind of core products and your ideal clients? You mentioned there's some supermarkets and offices.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your core? What are you helping them with?
So that has changed slightly, like I said. So that was probably before lockdown, when we were going to the commercial new build installations, sort of fit outs, offices, etc. We now work predominantly with property maintenance, property management companies, local councils, social housing companies, etc., care homes, schools. We work with commercial clients on a mixture of commercial and domestic premises for them.
Mm-hmm. And what exactly do you do for them?
And what exactly do we do? So we offer a turnkey solution for all of their maintenance, all of their compliance. So we've got, obviously, electrical is my background. We've got gas engineers, so we're gas safe registered. We do all the fixed wiring, all the data networking, fiber optics, telephone signals, all of that stuff. We also are quite involved in solar and EV chargers at the moment. And all their BMS and everything that goes with it. So we are a one-stop shop for our customers, and they like it because they just send it all to us and know that it's dealt with.
Yeah, so you're like a property management or maintenance outsourcing.
Property maintenance. Okay. Well, they outsource to us, but we have got it all in-house. We've got 50, 55 engineers, yeah. And all of our engineers are employed directly by us. And dog in the shot as well.
So where are you at today in terms of, are there a few key clients you look after, or have you got a lot of them well diversified?
We are quite well diversified. Obviously, we have a couple of bigger clients for us, some of the councils. We're doing a lot of work with Lambeth Council at the moment with some of their voids, etc. But to be completely honest with you, from lockdown, I kind of had a bit of a learning curve because we got knocked for just shy of £300,000. We got knocked as some of the bigger companies went under. And I kind of had all my eggs in one basket with one customer, and I was like, I'm never doing that again. So lots of little bits from lots of different customers and bits and pieces. So, yeah.
And your clients, do you tend to get them organically, or do you have like a marketing program that you use to find them?
I am the world's worst marketer. I do no marketing other than the vans being branded. That is it. Everything is found organically, or they organically come to us. The sort of property maintenance and that sort of market is very, everybody knows everybody. And if you do a good job, your name gets passed around and they go to X company, et cetera. So everything that we've done is built up on our reputation, on us turning up on time, our reliability and the guys doing a good job. So,
yeah, perfect. And obviously you've grown pretty quickly. You've got lots of people in the team now. How have you grown without killing your margin? So obviously, like we talked about when we last spoke, I'm a practical CFO, so I often I'm interested in how you've managed to preserve cash and build cash without running out of it in the scaling process.
So my wife is a chartered accountant, and an auditor accountant is her background, and she is very, very clever at saving money and sort of being very shrewd with what we spend out the money on. So like I said, people around me like her can obviously really help me push in the right direction.
So you got her in the finance seat?
Yes, yeah. She's financial director of the business, yeah.
And who else have you got in the finance function?
So, other than that, we've really got sort of just data entry. We've got obviously an accounts lady, accounts manager, and she deals with sort of chasing debt, sending invoices out. And then we've got a couple of assistants that just help with expenses and putting all the stuff on the system, basically.
Yes, yeah. And so how was the rest of your team structured? So you've got you're in charge, you've got your wife who's the finance director, and then who else have you got to get the team in place?
So we've got five divisions. So like I said, we've got electrics, property maintenance, which obviously covers gas, paint and decorating, telecoms, renewables, and controls, BMS controls. At the moment, I still set up a couple of those. We've got Steve is the manager of telecoms division. We've got Barry, who's manager of the electrical and renewables division. And we've got Dan, who's manager of the property maintenance division. And then I sit above controls. So they run the day-to-day. They look after the clients. They deal with the engineers. They look after their jobs. And we have management meetings every month to sort of go through the P&Ls of their divisions. We then obviously have sort of supporting roles that support the whole company. And so we've got the HR function, which we've got two people in HR that deal with the recruitment and sort of appraisals, disciplinaries, et cetera, et cetera. And then we've got sort of compliance and stores as well that we sort of look after all the materials going in and out and keep the costs down on procurement and stuff like that. So, yeah.
It all sounds well structured. It all sounds really well structured.
It's taken me a while to get there, but yeah, it is.
Did you learn all that yourself on the job, or did you have someone that helped you get all that structure in place?
No, I've kind of had to learn it as we were going, to be completely honest with you. I have been doing some sort of training and sort of self-development courses recently, but it's only been in the last year and a half that I've been doing those. And some of the stuff that they were telling me, to be completely honest with you, I was like, yeah, we've already done that. We're already doing that. And I've kind of, unfortunately, I've probably learned the hard way. If I was to recommend to anyone to do it, I would say to start off with a mentor and go with someone that can guide you so that you don't make the stupid mistakes. So,
yeah. And what's next for the business? What are your longer term plans?
So my wife wants to be audited, which I think is 50 million, I think, is it 55 million, something like that. So that's where she wants to get. I am looking to grow it so that we're in a position that if the right offer came up, we could exit if we needed to, but so that it runs without me in it, really. And that's my end goal. But I love what we do. We've got a plan over the next 3 to 4 years. Is turnover is going to be about 15, 16 million pounds, according to our business plan, which is very, not under optimistic, but is very, very cautious, because again, my wife's a chartered auditor accountant, so everything is on figures and everything like that. We should smash that. We want to look at some acquisitions of some sort of other businesses over the next couple of years, or bolt them into sort of the existing structure and build them in within our, because obviously we've already got a lot of the systems and the structures in place.
Yeah,
we could, if we're hiring the right person to come on and manage them, we could probably bring some of them in. This week we obviously do use some subcontractors for some of the specialist stuff, but whether we could bolt that in or grow it internally, I don't know yet. But
yeah, and so aside from the M&A that you're looking at, all the bolt-ons,
yeah,
your organic strategy, is that going to be a case of doubling down on what you're really good at? Or are you going to get into some new product lines or some new geographies?
So we are just doubling down on what we're really good at. We're going to be focusing on a bit of marketing with some just brand awareness bits and pieces. We are looking at some, because again, a lot of the stuff that we do is just organic stuff that comes in, is quite reactive. We've just taken on a sort of tender and bid writer. So we're going to be looking at sort of going for some of the bigger council contracts as well next year, which obviously will give us a lot more stability and what have you in there. And just really focusing on the service that we're doing. Like I said, with the exception of mergers and acquisitions, we will look to add on sort of the fire and security, which is something that is a bit more specialist that we offer, but through subcontractors at the moment. And then stuff like air conditioning, because we quite often get often ask for air conditioning. Add a few more lines, but try and focus down on what our core is, really.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of intros I can make for you on fire and security side. For smaller businesses that are looking to grow or looking to partner with new ones. And so obviously you've scaled pretty quickly. You said 50 to 60 mil revenue is where you're gonna get to. What are the biggest problems that you've faced over the years, particularly from the journey from 2 million and upwards? Did you hit? What roadblocks did you hit then, and how did you overcome them?
To be honest, I think one of the biggest roadblocks has been my mindset, really, and taking myself out of the operator function and focusing on the business. And again, putting the right people in the seat. Obviously, it's always a when's the right time to hire someone and hire someone new, and what's going to happen here, and you kind of just have to take, sometimes you have to take the gambles and it pays off. And one of the biggest problems that I sort of found for us personally was obviously during COVID, where the big commercial clients went under, and like I said, I think we lost just shy of £300,000, I think it was, and that they just completely knocked everyone, all their suppliers, and obviously as a subcontractor, you fall right down to the bottom of the list, don't you? So
yeah. And so what did you do? What did you learn from that? Obviously, it's pretty brutal at the time.
Well, like I said, we changed direction. There was a lot that came up about the private rental sector for the EICRs that were at the time. So every private landlord, there wasn't a requirement for them to get their properties tested, but then it came out that they had to do it. So that was quite a big booster, and that probably saved the company from going under, in truth be told.
Really?
Like I said to you, I've kind of, with customers, never let one customer be that much of a chunk of your turnover. So just diversify who your customers are and set quicker terms. And I'm a little bit old school in the fact that if you tell me something, I'm a man of my word, so I'll do what you sort of say. Whereas I've probably, everything's documented now, everything's written back, and POs and orders, everything like that, to make sure that we're getting the money in, and also chasing a lot quicker than what letting it go for so long.
Yeah. So mostly around cash control and what you're willing to tolerate in terms of clients not paying you on time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm interested, you mentioned mindset.
Yeah.
Before you mentioned the client that didn't pay. What did you do to help you get over that or get out of your own way? So that's what I took from what you said.
It was really, I mean, one of the biggest things was sort of, for me, coming off of the tools. I mean, I'm still an electrician by heart. If anybody who meets me, I would still tell them I'm an electrician, even though I've got a £6 million business, what have you, that's got 55 engineers. I still tell people I'm an electrician. So I think that's possibly one of the worst things for me, because obviously I was almost a busy fool trying to do the work and then manage the people. And it was a detriment to my customers, because I wasn't doing the best job for the customers, and I wasn't doing the best job for the engineers, and I wasn't doing the best job for the businesses. So sort of getting in the right mindset and taking yourself away to focus on the business rather than in the business was one of my biggest, one of the biggest things, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's really interesting. And that is, I think it's one of the biggest problems that business owners have. It's that they're experts at what they do. And, you know, you're an electrician by trade. You started a business because you're really good at being an electrician. But actually, when you start a business and you start running it, you can't carry on being an electrician. You have to transition into a business owner, and you have to learn how to be a business owner. So, that's probably one of the most common things. And then you end up getting in your own way, because the thing that you know how to do is the electrician work. So you carry on doing that and you stay busy, but actually the problems in the business don't get addressed because you don't really know what they are.
Yeah, exactly.
It gets worse and worse, or you can't get out of it. But you've obviously done a good job of getting up tools yourself and then bringing in people under you to actually do the bits that you don't want to do.
I think it's also having the right team. I've had a good couple of hires, and having the right people around you that can sort of help and guide you. Because I mean, I don't know everything. This business would not, if I left tomorrow, this business would probably still run, because it's not all in my head now. So having the right people, but like I said, it's knowing when to hire and when not to hire.
Perfect. Well, thanks very much for being a guest. Is there anything you'd like to share with the audience?
Not really. Just like I said, just keep going at it. Keep grinding at it. And it's hard work, but it gets easier. Does it get easier? Just keep at it and keep following your dreams, I suppose. Yeah.
But in terms of who might be a good intro for you, would that be people in that sector that we mentioned earlier, so fire and security, for example, or anyone else who would be able to support you, or you might be able to support?
We're always looking for sort of qualified tradespeople, whether it's other business owners that sort of wanting to work with us, and good reliable people that do good quality work. Again, for us, our customers are sort of some of the bigger boys, local councils, bits and pieces, and we're just here to help.
Good stuff. All right. Well, if anyone wants to reach out to you, we'll put a link to your website in the show notes, and also a link to your LinkedIn.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks very much for coming on as a guest, Rhys.
Thanks, Tom. Lovely to speak to you.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, this podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. On that page, you'll find the link to apply.